This happens to be National Library Week, so it's fitting that the state will celebrate the grand opening of the Nanakuli Library on Saturday. It's been waiting for almost 25 years. We sat down with State Librarian Stacey Aldrich about what this means to the community and what marks several firsts for the Hawaii Library System, including a faster way to check out books, including by using radio frequency identification chips, and the first podcasting recording studio.
Yes. So when they were doing the design of the building, we always do community meetings to get feedback about what's important to the community. And one of the concepts that came out as crucial for that community was we want to save the stories of our kapuna. So could we have a recording studio? And so there is a specific room that's built to record stories. We're still building it out right now with the technology. But the room is there, and we're really looking forward to opening it up and having a program where people can share their stories, and then we can make those stories accessible to the community and to the world.
And there was a recent study, a Pew report, that talked about how millennials are the interest in libraries is really high. You know, talk about that and this whole podcasting kind of idea.
I think the thing that is appealing about libraries is there are community spaces that aren't just about books anymore, even though books are very important. I think that we are at a point where we have seen technology, and it's all the different ways. We have e-books, we have audiobooks, but people desire access to all of those things, and libraries offer that. But it's not just those resources. It's opportunities to come together, to have meetings, to learn, and to do it in ways where you can also share your expertise. And so a lot of libraries are building makerspaces. In Kahuku, we actually have a makerspace where you can check out a sewing machine. It's a more textile makerspace. But libraries are doing what we're really good at, which is bringing together collections of things for people to use so that not everybody has to own it, but everybody has an opportunity. And with a sound studio, as we build out the technology and the programming, we'll also be able to build out opportunities for people who don't need to, they won't have to buy all the equipment. They'll have an opportunity to share their story with the world by using the equipment that's available in the library.
And that's really neat that it came about as an ask from the community, you know, for preserving those stories.
Absolutely. I think that's, we're all looking for a way. I think libraries are about our stories. And I think it was the perfect request of the library to say we want to not only have the stories of our state and some local stories and of our culture, but really, really local, like our real stories, our personal stories, which help to tell to weave the fabric of the story of the whole area.
And what's the timetable for the build-out? Do we have to put another ask in for money in order to finish the studios?
I think we're in good shape on the funding portion. It's just making sure that we build out the technology in a way that we have the appropriate storage, that we build a program that's manageable for our staff. So the program will probably begin with us recording stories and partnering with maybe local groups that do the recordings of stories and making those accessible. And then later on, having ways for people to learn how to use the technology and then use it on their own.
And so if it goes well in Nanakuli, is there a chance we might see these type of studios opening up in other libraries?
Absolutely. I would love to do that. I would love to have places where people can create their stories and share them across all of the branches, across all of the islands.
And will this library have a makerspace as well?
Potentially, yes. I think we're opening the building. We're seeing what people really want and need, and we have space. So I think there's opportunities to build out what people are interested in that community.
Well, what's the library's kind of philosophy now? Are you cutting back on the number of books that we buy? Talk about the digital collection.
Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. We are balancing between physical and digital. We circulated almost 6 million items yet again last year, and that's a lot of movement between materials. These are physical objects moving between our 50 branches, soon to be 51 branches. So when you talk with people, it's very interesting. I ask people all the time, or when they find out that I'm the state librarian, they'll say, I like the physical book better. And I've met one person who said, I love the digital book. I don't want to go back to the physical book. So I think there is, I think people are finding, if you're a reader, Pew actually did a study a couple years ago on e-books, and they found out if you're a reader, you're going to read any type of format. And so I think our voracious readers are reading both. I think that there are some things that are better in a physical format than they are. Like a cookbook to me is better in a physical format than a digital format sometimes, or sometimes a digital works. We are balancing, and not all books are available digitally. So there are some older materials that still are not available. They're only available in print. But I have seen this move back to the tangible, that people like to hold the book. And there was a story, actually research done in Norway, about physical books and virtual books. And they had two sets of people read the same book, but one in digital and one in physical. And what they found was, when they asked people questions about context and timelines, that the people who read the physical book could actually remember when things happened more than if they read the virtual book. And they think that's because we're very physical creatures. And so when you say, well, when did that happen in the book, you are remembering the book and where, which pages it happened on. When you're reading a digital book, you don't have a sense of where you are in the book. You're just reading. You're just continuing to read. So I think we're learning a lot about physical and digital. They also found out that people who read the physical book were somehow more empathetic than people who read the virtual book.
That's so fascinating. I mean, the whole tactile thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and, you know, the connection with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's really remarkable.
Yeah. So we're trying to balance, and we're watching how people check out materials. We're asking people questions. We're asking people what's important. But I can tell you, everybody's saying we still want books. We still want the physical. I have visited all 51 branches, a new one opening, and every community is just a little bit different. In some of our communities where there isn't as much internet connectivity, the libraries are vital because they're the only place that they can access the internet, which is important if you need to access government websites or information. Anything is online now if you wanted to apply for a job. So in those communities, the library is vital for internet connectivity. Lots of families are still checking out lots of children's books. So where we have large family groups, they're checking out materials. Some communities where we have more retired, they're volunteering at the library. They're having book sales. They're supporting the library by reading, but also by raising money to help support those branches. So the demographics vary across the state. And for the most part, people are really looking for just an opportunity for access and an opportunity for learning and to expand their imagination and their ideas and to do it in a way where they can connect with people.
Are you seeing more communities gravitate toward, like, periodicals, the magazines, Press Reader?
Press Reader. Right. Uh-huh. We have Press Reader. We also have RB Digital. I do think people are looking at the tangible magazines. We do have more people using Press Reader. RB Digital has just changed its platform, so our statistics are a little off right now. So I'm not sure how many people actually know that you can download Oprah or other kinds of magazines. So I think what's interesting is we have a lot of services that are digital that people don't know that
right.
we have.
And maybe we should explain to listeners what Press Reader is.
Oh yeah, so Press Reader is online, available just with your library card through our website, and it allows you enables access to over 6,000 magazines and newspapers from around the world. And what makes it unique is, say, you're learning French or you speak French and you want to read Le Monde, you can find Le Monde. It's the most recent edition of Le Monde, and you can actually translate it into English. The software translates it for you. So you can practice your French, and then you can test to see if it's the right thing. You can also, if you're interested in what's the rest of the world thinking about what's happening in the United States right now, you can go and look at the Daily Mirror. You can look at newspapers from around the globe and get a different perspective of what's the global perspective of what we're seeing in the United States.
Right.
And vice versa. So it expands access to resources across our 51 branches that we wouldn't be able to buy subscriptions to all of those magazines and newspapers.
So the reach is fabulous.
Yeah, it's great.
That was State Librarian Stacy Aldrich talking about our changing libraries as we work to keep up with technological advances.